Yes, the title for my sermon today is Meekness. What is it? Now, I'm sure we've all heard messages in the past about meekness and what it means to be meek. In my preparation, I started to listen to a message given a long time ago by Mr. Edwin Pope, and he was talking about meekness. And what he was saying was right and proper and good. There was something else that I kind of started to think about, and it's a little bit different than I think that most of us think about when we talk about meekness. And so hopefully that's what I can bring out today. So what do you think about when you hear the word meek? I was thinking about it, and the first reaction who I thought about it was, don't ask me why this popped in my head, but there's a scene in the movie Oliver Twist where the little boy is going up with his bowl, and he's asking, "Please, sir, may I have some more?" And that's what I thought about when I think about being meek, or having the attitude of having meekness. But yet we are told in the Bible that this attitude of meekness is actually of great importance for us to possess. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, Christ says, Matthew 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So, this attitude of meekness is actually required for those who will be inheriting the earth. You and I have to have this attitude. But what does the Bible mean here? You know, are we to be people that are easy to push around, be ones who are wishy-washy with what we think, what we say, and just cowering in a corner, hiding, keeping our heads low for the sake of not getting noticed, being scared and afraid of what has to be said? Is that what this Bible means here in Matthew 5:5? In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, we read about those who will not be allowed into God's kingdom. And it says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he will be my son." But the cowardly, those who are afraid, those who hide, who are overly meek, if you will, they shall be those who have their part in the lake which burns with fire, with brimstone, which is a second death. So obviously, being cowardly won't get us into the kingdom of God. So then, is this what it means to be meek? Obviously, meek doesn't mean that we are to be cowardly, to be easily pushed over. If you will, turn to Mark 4. And beginning in verse 40. Mark 4 and verse 40. "And he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" Verse 41. "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" This is a story of the disciples in the boat. There was a great storm on the lake or ocean where they were, and they were afraid for their lives. The first word for fear here in the Greek is delios, when Christ says, "Why are you so fearful?" And this word delios means fear-driven. Those who are timid, who are fearful. The helps word studies, and we'll be using this a little bit throughout this sermon, says that this Greek word of Strong's is always used with negativity in the New Testament. The other word in verse 41, where it says they feared exceedingly, is this word phobos, P-H-O-B-O-S, and it means panic or flight. Fear, the cause of causing fear or terror. And it says also that it's also used commonly in Scripture, sometimes positively in relation to God, but more often negatively of drawing away from God. So this phobos meant withdraw, fleeing because of feeling scared or inadequate, removing oneself from a situation or trying to avoid it because of dread. So Christ first says, why are you fearful, delios? Why are you allowing fear to drive you? Why are you allowing fear to grip you? Why are you not instead faithful, knowing that you won't die, that I have called you? And then we read that they had this phobos fear, possibly even wanting to flee away from Christ because of his power over the weather. Obviously, no one has ever seen anything like this in their lives. They were wanting to withdraw, to remove themselves from danger. And I mention this because it plays out in our lives. And it you'll see how it fits in with the rest of the sermon on meekness. And so, as I start this message, I want to read Matthew 5 and verse 5 again. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. How can something that is weak inherit something, if that is truly what meek means? Well, off to the dictionary I went. And the definition of meekness, there are some good points that I think are good, and then there are some that you question, and you ask, how does that actually fit a Christian? From the Merriam-Webster definition of meek, it says, enduring injury with patience and without resentment. Pretty good. Deficient in spirit and courage, or submissive. Not so good. Not violent or strong. I agree with the not violent part, but the strong part. Okay. Other words for meek also include forbearing, uncomplaining, passive, unassuming, pacific, not the ocean, calm, obedient, weak, timid, soft, or yielding. So some of these words, in respect to us being Christians and having to take on this meekness, they have good attributes as far as this definition goes. Humility, being nonviolent, those are all things that we are called to do. But there are ones, obviously, that are not so good. Weakness. Really? We're called to be weak as Christians? Is that what the Bible is saying that we should be, is weak? I don't think so. So I looked up the Strong's Concordance for meek and for meekness. And the first one for meekness is praotes, P-R-A-O-T-E-S. And it's 4236 in Strong's Concordance. And it means to be properly temperate, displaying the right blend of force and reserve or gentleness. Ah, now we're getting somewhere. Strength and gentleness. It has to avoid unnecessary harshness, yet without compromising or being too slow to use necessary force. So for us, this word praeortius, or meekness, is actually the fruit or the product of God's Holy Spirit, one of the attributes. In Galatians 5 and verse 23, it calls out meekness as being one of the fruits of the Spirit. That being said, it is not something that can be humanly accomplished to have this proper meekness, because it takes God's Holy Spirit and the active use of that in our lives, through our actions, through our reactions, to come to understand how to properly use meekness. And somehow I skipped the first one, which was meek. harshness. Yeah. So there's two words, meek, which is 42:36 or 35, and then meekness, which is 42:36. But they both mean that same thing, that gentleness, yet with strength. And so I thought I'd look up a couple of these scriptures that actually use this 42:35 and 42:36 of praeortius, or meek, or meekness. And the first one was Matthew 21 and verse 5. Matthew 21 and verse 5. It says, speaking about Christ, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Lowly, or meekness, or meek. Christ is spoken of as coming with meekness. And yet we know that Christ was also very powerful in his life, with how he spoke, with great boldness, with great strength and zeal. And yet his attitude was not one of warring, right? He didn't come to conquer anybody at that point. He had the perfect blend of strength and gentleness. Let's turn to Matthew 11 and verse 29. We can actually start in verse 28. Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Lowly, meekness. We are told to take this on, to allow Christ to live his life through us so that we can take off our heavy load of this world of sin and learn to be gentle, learn to be meek. And then turning over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4. First Peter 3 and verse 4, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Again, the word gentle here is praeos. And yet the word quiet here is, I don't even know how to say this one, hesukios, which means tranquil, or quiet, or peaceful. From the Helps Words study, this word quiet is steady, due into a divinely inspired inner calmness. If you're raging inside, full of anger, full of hate, you can't be properly calm. And that's exactly the attitude that is permeating this world at this time. And what's interesting is that these three scriptures and then Matthew 5:5 all have a Greek root word of praeus in them. P-R-A-U-S. And so the Strong's 4235 and 4236 both have this as their root. And it's 4239 in Strong's Concordance. And it means mild or gentle. And Help's Word Studies says, this difficult to translate root, pra, means more than meek. Biblical meekness is not weakness, but rather refers to exercising God's strength under his control, i.e. demonstrating power without undue harshness. And then it also went on to say, the English term meek often lacks this blend of gentleness or reserve and strength. So I think I found it very interesting that thinking about our lives, needing to have meekness, needing to have this wisdom to have both gentleness and strength, and how we're going to have this to make it through these last days. And this is actually something that Christ warned us about. If you will, turn to Matthew 10. Matthew 10 and starting in verse 16. The subtitle in my Bible said, persecutions are coming. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, for he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one city, flee to another, for assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. The scripture, especially verse 16, really encapsulate everything that we've talked about up to this point. Now, we cannot have a semblance of fear in our lives, but rather we have to have confidence and faith and boldness and wisdom in coming from God and how to preach, how to live, how to operate in this world of its lies and web of trickery and craftiness. And when Christ was here on this earth, he did this perfectly. He did so with proper meekness, always having the right answer, always holding back not saying what need to not be said, always speaking the right things at the right times. Every single situation that you read of in the Bible where Christ was talking to people, it's always perfect what he had to say to them. So amazing to see how masterfully he was able to walk through his life. How he did so with power and with strength and yet with gentleness. You know, the people were astonished all the times at his teaching. And yet then there were times that Christ simply slipped through the crowds because there were people seeking to harm him. All the early disciples also come to mind with this. They were able to teach great and powerful things. They were able to be strong in speech, and yet they were able to be peaceful without causing harm to others, willing to endure great hardship at times. You know, I think about meekness in this way. It's not some guy just mumbling in a corner about how you should obey the law and, oh, it's so scary and, oh, you should do this, but I'm afraid to say it. No, it's the truth. You stand up for it. That's what it takes. The early disciples were known for turning their known world, upside down at the time. The early disciples, they were turning their world, known world upside down with their preaching. A lot of people hated him. A lot of people feared what they were saying, possibly because, in part, they knew something tugged at them as truth. You know, in order to accomplish this, they had to believe that what they were doing was 100% inspired by God, that they were led by God's Holy Spirit to do this. Brethren, what we are doing now will continue to grow harder and more complicated to do. And we're going to be put to the point in our lives where our faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tried. We are going to have to decide through God's Holy Spirit with his power how to keep this proper meekness in our lives, being strong and yet being gentle. Strong in preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, strong in obedience to God's laws and his regulations rather than man's. Strong in believing that God will see us through any and all situations that he orchestrates for our lives. In Luke 12 and verse 12, it says, "But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Mark 13:11. "But when they arrest you and they deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." In Revelation 20 and verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Brethren, we don't know what will happen in our lives. We don't know how or when these things will happen, or if they will actually happen to us. But we can be rest assured that something will happen to us in our lives. And it's not a scare tactic, it's just the truth. It's what the Bible says. It's our duty to then to remain close to God, to draw upon him for strength, for wisdom, through everything that we are going to face in this life. With this in mind, James 3 and verse 13. James 3 and verse 13. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts. And always be ready to give. Nope, that's the next one. Who is wise? James 3 and 13. I was reading the next one. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. Now you can turn to 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, which is what I started to read. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Now, these are not just simple thoughts that we can pass off and dismiss. Rather, they are very deep truths that we should meditate on and really put in our hearts just what this means. Really seeking to sanctify ourselves with God. We are just human beings, flesh and blood. We are weak. And yet we are called as weak in this world. We have to have God to help us understand how to endure, how to come out the other side. We have to learn how to have strength and gentleness all at the same time. And I like Paul's attitude in this area because he often considered his infirmities, his weaknesses as strengths. In 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 10 and beginning of verse 1 says, Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with confidence by which I intend to be bold against some, who think of us as we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul is talking about using this blend of gentleness and boldness in our lives. And it's there for a reason for us. We have to be seeking to be bold and to be gentle through Christ. And for the reason that we are fighting spiritual fights that no one can actually see. It's interesting because Paul was also able to discern if people were actually using meekness in their lives. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18 to 21, 1 Corinthians 4 and beginning verse 18, "Now some are puffed up. They're not meek. They're not learning how to be meek. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills. And I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love, in a spirit of gentleness, meekness?" The power of God, one of those powers is meekness. And so as we live our lives, we have to come to understand how and where meekness integrates, where it fits in. For us as believers, this meekness, this gentle force, begins with God's inspiration, and it finishes with his direction and his empowerment. It has to be a divinely balanced virtue that we can and must take on. For the last scripture, Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, put on long-suffering." Brethren, we have to know. We have to know how we are going to be able to do this. And we have to be willing to be gentle and merciful and kind. But we also have to learn how to be bold and strong. We have to be full of meekness so that we can continue our commission to be ambassadors for God and for this way of life.